Book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, I was thinking about this story of Nehemiah. There's so many wonderful things in this account of God's Word, and it's all about the... Let me just read here for sake of reading. Let me start in chapter 1, verse number 4. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Reading this portion of scripture in chapter 1 of the book of Nehemiah, my heart was on what to do when everything has fell down. What to do when everything has fell down. Nehemiah was a child of the captivity, was a prophet. You'll find that the book of Ezra, which is right next to Nehemiah, both of them were, as many Bible scholars say, they were contemporaries. They lived in the same timeline. They were a part of the same exile, lived at the same time. One, Nehemiah, he was, I guess you could say, the political leader of his people at the time. Ezra, the spiritual leader of his people at the time. And Ezra and Nehemiah, again, both, if you look at both of these books, have so much in common. Both of them were about the exile. And if you'll study this book under Nehemiah's leadership, the walls were quickly rebuilt in Jerusalem. Now, it's amazing that they had been brought out of a captivity already from Egypt. And it didn't hardly take, one generation to put them back into captivity with Babylon. They had turned that fast back. Why? Because they begin to worship idols. They begin to do evil in the sight of the Lord. They begin to not keep his commandments. If there's anything that can be said in many of these books, is that the disobedience to God and his word, God looks heavily down upon that. God wants his people to obey him, doesn't he? And so we see the children of Israel are a picture. All these things were written for our learning. We are not the children of Israel. We are the church. Amen. We're the children of God. We're Thank God, living in the day of grace and not under the days of the law. If we were living under the same term that the children of Israel was living under, why, our days may be much harder than we say sometimes that they are. But thank God we have grace in the day that we are living in. That you and I can confess our sins. Amen. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, isn't it? But Nehemiah and Ezra both, they wanted to see something happen back in their homeland, even though they were in captivity in what now was the greatest kingdom of the world, Babylon. Beautiful kingdom. The Hanging Gardens was one of the great wonders of the world that was in Babylon. This was a beautiful place, a time of increase abundantly in a time where Babylon was taking over everything. And then there certainly was going to come other governments after that. Babylon would not remain. There was Persia that came after that. And so you'll find Ezra and Nehemiah. The Bible said, if you'll look in the book of Ezra, the Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 1, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. The Persian Empire has already taken over. The Babylonian Empire has been consumed. They had went through the Babylonian Empire, Daniel's generation. Now we have this last generation that came out of it and are in hold to the Persians. Well, he says, now in the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. If you'll look at the book next to Ezra, 2 Chronicles, the very last two chapters or two verses are almost identical to the first two verses that are in the book of Ezra. It lets us know that probably Ezra was the ready scribe that wrote the book of 2 Chronicles. They're exactly the same words almost. And so when you see the identical writing of Ezra in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, in the end of 2 Chronicles, the last two verses, it's very easy to identify that Ezra, being that ready scribe that he was a priest. He was a priest, a son of Eleazar, a son of Aaron, the high priest. So he was a spiritual leader in this time. He was of the priesthood. He, again, was a scribe, and he lived in the same time as Nehemiah. That there were people all around Nehemiah that this man, Cyrus, had this king that God had put it in his heart to let him go and build back the temple of the Lord. Build the walls back. Now, Nehemiah, this is what I want to get to. Nehemiah, even though he was in captivity, he was in exile from those earlier days. He had found himself in a place where he was a cupbearer
for the king. It was a high position. And he could find himself at times being in that high position. He could probably find himself being in favor with the king. Someone who would make sure the wine wasn't poisoned, make sure that it was prepared right for the king and bring it to the king. He saw the king, no doubt, in his most relaxed times and also in his most tense times. But he comes before him this day in chapter 1, and he's very sad. So he must have had some form of relationship as far as the king had feelings toward this man. He was a godly man, a leader of his people, concerned, and his heart was in Jerusalem. Because the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 2, at the end of verse 1, he was in Shushan, the palace. Verse 2, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Do you see where his heart was? That it's that when everything had failed, that everything had fallen, his heart was on God's people and on the city of God. That's where Nehemiah's heart was. It was on God's people and their condition and the condition of the place of God. The house of God, the walls of the city of God. And so you and I, listen, when it seems like everything is falling down around us, our heart should be, what do I do now with God's people? What can I do for the benefit of God's people? What can I do for the benefit of the house of God? I think we've seen a similar stir of that here lately in the house of God here at Mission Hill. There have been those that want to do something, anything. No matter what it is, that I could do something for God's people. Do something at the house of God. Well, that's a good place to get in. Revival in the days of Nehemiah is going to take place because he got a heart for the people of God and for the walls of God, didn't he? Surely he did. The wall was broken down in verse 3. The gates were burned with fire. The Bible said that was the testimony. He said, Nehemiah, this is what needs to be done. This is the condition of the city. Nehemiah knew exactly what had to be done. See, it doesn't take much to know what you need to raise when your heart is in that place. His heart was in Jerusalem, and he found out exactly what it was that he needed to do to build up God's kingdom again. Amen? Isn't that a good place to be in our heart? Being in a place where you want to put your hand to the plow? You want to get out from where you are? Nehemiah was really, he was in bondage. He wasn't meant to be a cupbearer. He was meant to be a wall builder. He was meant to be a leader of his people. He wasn't meant to be a servant of the king. He was meant to be a leader of his people. And you need to realize today that you're meant for something much more when it comes to the things of God. You're not meant to keep being a cupbearer where you are, amen? Away from the place of God. Listen, I know I'm giving you a spiritual analogy right now, And listen, you've got to work, you've got to provide for your family, you've got to do the things that a man or a woman needs to do to take care of their family. But the spiritual thing, that is the most important thing. And that is who you and I am. Before I listen, I had to realize one day I wasn't no longer. I wasn't a plant worker. I was a preacher. No matter what I did, no matter what I put my hand to, and I had to do many things. I built houses. You know what? I wasn't a carpenter. I was a preacher. I knew, listen, that I had a call in my life for something greater than just doing that. Not that that's not something great that needs to be done. If you're a man or a woman that's taking care of your family, working hard, you do that. And you do that to the best of your ability. And you let your light shine. But more than that, don't just come here and then lay down. Come here and do what you're meant to do. Amen? Come here and say, what's the condition of the people? And what's the condition of the city? What can be done? What needs to be done at the place of God? And I'll tell you, his desire, his whole desire burned in him and wielded in him a place of prayer, a place of weeping, a place of fasting. Are you listening? This man had nothing else consuming his spirit and his soul than to do that which he knew needed to be done for God. That was on his forefront. That was what was in his life. Yes, he kept being a cupbearer. As long as he was there in the palace of the king, he did. The same with Ezra. He did what he had to do, but spiritually, he was a priest. Spiritually, he was a ready scribe. That's what he was supposed to do. Can you imagine how important? Listen, they were in a day and a time that many of the children of Israel, if you'll read in the book of Ezra, you'll find that many of the children of Israel had really begun to love living among the Persians. They begin to dress like Persians. They begin to eat like Persians. They did, you know, they just sort of left off the things that they knew God had commanded them to do. They're completely losing their identity as a child of God in Israel. What it meant. Listen, read the first five books of the Old Testament and see what God did for that people and see the commandments that God, the God of heaven, laid down to Moses, wrote them in stone. They were written in a book. Moses would read them. And God was saying, this is who you are. You do this and obey me. I am your God, and you are my people. Can you imagine somebody just leaving all of that? Now they've picked up a life in Persia. Well, they had got word, many of them, listen, of the children of Israel were about 20 to 50 miles away from the borders of the city. And it was such a dire situation that Ezra had called and said, the people that don't come back here in 3 days, they're going to lose their possession. They're going to lose what they had here with God in Jerusalem. You see, each one of those tribes had a section of land that was appointed out. And among those tribes, those families, the heads of the families had portions within that portion. and it was given to them. Houses that they built not, land and gardens and vineyards that they labored not. You remember that? Ezra said they're going to lose if they don't come back here. And many of them didn't come back. But there were many that did. 3 days they made their way out of the doors of Persia back to the walls that were broken down. Can you imagine them getting there and they had left the fine life to come back to the city of God? And it wasn't glorious anymore. The walls were on fire. The gates on fire. Walls crumbled down. The temple gone. And they sat in the streets next to the temple of God. But you know what? Somebody had to say, what do we do? What can I do? What's my part? What is my part? What can I do to get this place to its former glory? What can I do to help build them walls again? They were men that worked on each gate. There were 12 gates. Am I right, Brother Mike? There were 12 different gates, a sheep gate, a fish gate. I mean, they just went right on down the line. And there were men that was their responsibility in their corner of the wall to put up their gate and build the wall. Many of them had a sword in one hand and a hammer in the other hand. But they did their portion. You see, because the pastor and the deacon, we've got ours. And I can't spend all the time that I need on my portion if I'm having to run over to where you're supposed to be. Is that making sense to you this morning? I can walk you over there and say, this is where you're needed. But you've got to be willing to stand there and say, I'm by the grace of God going to make the best out of my portion of the wall. My portion's going to be the strongest. Amen. I'm going to have a strong Sunday school. I'm going to be a strong part of them that get out and witness and testify. I'm going to do this. A lady say, I'm going to pray, or I'm going to do this, or a man say, I'm going to do that. But you do something. You can't just come to God's house and do nothing. That's what many are doing today. And that's how they wind up with their walls crumbled and the gates on fire. They had enemies. Sanballat was probably their greatest enemy. You remember that story? Surely you do. He mocked them. He come out there and he looked. He saw all these dusty, hungry Israelites. Nothing the way it used to be. Walls tore down. Gates on fire. No temple. There they were trying to build the walls up, and he said, what a sorry wall. If a fox runs on that wall, it's going to fall down. Trying to discourage, trying to hinder God's people, trying to do anything. Trying to hinder the ones that were trying. You hear that? Trying to hinder those that are trying. Amen? And trying is not just saying, well, I'm trying. Trying is actually getting your hands in there. Amen? Lift a rock. Amen? Lay it in the right place. Put your hand to the plow. Sweat a little bit. labor a little bit, pray a little bit, cry a little bit, fast a little bit. That's what they were doing. Their heart was in what they knew they had to do if Jerusalem was going to be the glory of the earth again. And the church, by the way, is the most beautiful thing on earth. The world wants to make, listen, thank God for a little white country church on the side of a road with a temple and a cross. Amen? Hey, are you listening? We're God's people. Hey, listen, that's the greatest light that you and I could have on a Sunday. Ring that bell. Let people know God's house is in order today. Let the world know through the week. Like Brother Mike was teaching, yes, there are some real believers in this world. Where's your portion of the wall? Well, it's up at Mission Hill. That's where it's at. Amen. Got a strong gate. Amen. Got a solid wall. Got people that's laboring. People that's praying. People that's crying. People that's fasting. Amen. People that's working. People that's doing. Those drawing water. Those fixing the food. Are you hearing me? Those sewing the clothes. No matter what that it is. Those digging at the dung gate. I've often said, I've preached this many a times. I'd have maybe thought, put me down here at the dung gate. Can you imagine they put me at the dung, of all the gates, to put me at the dung gate? Boy, this, why couldn't they have put me at the water gate? Or put me at the sheep gate? Why couldn't they have put me at one of them more glorious gates? Listen, every gate was just as important as the next. And it had to be done. Somebody had to be, and I'll tell you what, those things, many a time that are least esteemed to men, are greatly esteemed in the eyes of God. Amen? Is that right? He said, I beseech thee, O Lord, in verse 5, Nehemiah did. He began to pray. Verse 4, he said, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God. See, he's worshiping and praying right now. That keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him. And observe his commandments. He said, let thine ear now be attentive. God, hear me. And thine eyes open. God, see me. That thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. Nehemiah wasn't a Sunday Christian. Amen. His heart was here day and night. It's different when you're really concerned about something. When you're really invested in something. Your heart's there. You can't help it. Your heart is going to be there. And Lord, help us. Listen, when so many other things are falling down around us, God help us to keep this place built up, to get under it. Amen? Build it up by God's help and grace. Take our post. To pray, God, hear me. God, see me. We want God to see us, don't we? We want God to hear us. I want God to see what's going on right here. I want God to hear what's going on right here. I want God to help us with what's going on right here. Amen. God, I want God to see so He sees your life, and He does. So He sees my life, and He does. And He knows our heart, and He knows our desire. He knows. He knows. If we want God's people here, He knows. But there are a lot of people, listen, they're not going to come to work. They're in Persia. They've decided to live in Persia. You see, the Bible talks about such a thing as, you know, not all them that are in Israel are Israel. Now, there's a lot to that statement, but part of it is not everybody living there was a Hebrew, a real Hebrew at heart. And not everybody that comes in and out of a church is a saved by grace saint of God. But God knows them that are His. God knows them that are His, doesn't He? Lord, help us that are His. Amen. To come and say, I want my part of the land. Show me my spot. Show me what to do. Lord, show me what you'd have me to do. To build up the walls. To build them strong. To put the fire out in the gates. Show me what to do, Lord. He will. And the more of us, listen, the more of us that are at it, the greater we'll see things. I believe that with everything that's within me. This is a carnal illustration. I've been by places that people were building. You go by the next day. You go by the next day. You go by that whole week. And even that whole month. And you think, what have they been doing over there? That thing looks like it did a month ago. Then you go by a place, and you go by a place a couple of days, and a week later you're like, man, that's not the same place that it was a week ago. Somebody's been busy. Somebody's been determined, very determined. Somebody's got a vision. Somebody's got a vision. You don't just build it. I'm going to say this and I'm done. You don't just build something up like that just to stand there and look at it. Somebody had a vision. Somebody saw them walls keeping the enemies out. Somebody saw that temple and the glory coming down again. You got to have a vision. All of us got to have a vision, a shared vision. Nehemiah had it. Ezra had it. Those people got it. They could see it. They could see it coming together. They could see it happening. I want you to stand this morning.